WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch accounts. Call Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the no longer rectangular button below the screen. You can use creator code ROCKINSUCK in the Fortnite item shop, because hashtag epic partner. I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern.
That just really bugs you, doesn't it?
It does. It messes up the flow of what... I have the spiel all the together, and it's no longer the spiel because they changed the thing. You know.
Oh, man. Yeah, last night it was the, you know, oh, the no longer purple, and that's like, I could just hear in your voice, it's just like...
Because I'm going to slip up and say it, and that's the thing, because it's the spiel.
Well, get a better spiel.
So, but that's why we're mocking it, that the fact that it's no longer rectangular. That's the new spiel for now.
He died a little inside, y'all. He really
did. I did. See, Lindsay says I need to fix it. She's going to screw up the spiel, too.
Fine. It's fine.
See, I'm not the only one. Anyway, we also have one, Keishi Matsunaga.
I won't screw it up.
There you go.
And the you can still sub, so that's the important part.
That is the important part. Just hit the purple button. That's all you gotta do at this stage of the game. We also have the one and only Tim Stein.
Hey, yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Saudi Arabia review show. Yesterday, PLE took place, and it was a night full of champions. And we're going to talk about it tonight, but I'm on a bit of a countdown here, guys. T-minus 3 hours and 54 minutes to go.
What? I'll bite.
My dad's 99th birthday.
Well, that in itself is a very big accomplishment. Congratulations to your father.
I'll pass that.
Congratulations,
on.
Tim's dad.
Yes, yeah, tomorrow the old fart turns 99, which means I'm only 2 years away from being able to call him a liar. Is back when he was like 50 and I got in trouble, like I always did because I'm Gen X. He was lecturing me, and at one point he just gave up, and he said to me one time that during this lecture, he said to me, and I'm quoting as closely as I can remember, "You know, Tim, I've got fewer years ahead of me than behind me, and I've come to accept that one of these days it's going to happen to you, and you're going to have to deal with it." And so I'm waiting for, like, literally one more year to be able to call him a liar, because...
Then he'll have had more years ahead of him than behind him at the time that he was telling you that?
Exactly. So...
And then you're going to tell him that, and he's going to get so hot that he has a heart attack right in front of you.
No, he won't. He'll just laugh because he'll look at me and he'll call me a wise ass. And I'll just look at him with a grin and say, "Where the fuck do you think I got it, Don?" Yes, my dad's first name is Don. Don't ask what his middle name is. But every time a certain character would come out, I couldn't help but guffaw. And this was a special needs character that WWF had. That should be a really big hint for what his middle name is and why I would always chuckle harder than I should have whenever he came out, which of course nowadays is really not good to chuckle at to begin with. So. Good evening, everybody. Officially. We hope that you had a chance to, catch Night of Champions. Yesterday during the daytime, not last night. Now, if you're listening to us anywhere on the World Wide Web and you can find us in various places, join us in the chat room, twitch.tv/WTR Live. You can say hello to the lovely Lindsay Ward. Hi, Lindsay, and on behalf of my dad, thank you. And, of course, Matt's in there on behalf of my dad. Matt, thank you. And thanks to you guys on the microphones as well, by the way, on his behalf.
Indeed. So, Night of Champions took place yesterday afternoon. Weird that we get afternoon events, but we'll take them when we get them. There's going to be a big one where you go all in 2 weeks during the afternoon, right, Brant?
No, don't talk to me about that.
We'll have news about how we're reviewing that one coming soon.
At the end of the show.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll give you all the details. We got we had a conversation. We've got some stuff planned. But anyway, show opened with King of the Ring, Cody Rhodes, Randall Orton. What do we think?
Well, according to Uncle Dave, this was the match of the night, or afternoon, or whatever.
Congrats, I would have a Uncle very Dave. Hard time disagreeing with that one.
It was good. I mean, we have two guys who know each other and, you know, have that history that they were touching on. One of the things I really liked about this match was they told the story with Randy's back.
Yeah.
Where it was, like, you had the narrative in the match of, like, okay, Randy took the one move, and then it was like, all right, now he's selling throughout. And it was also like, would Cody go after it? Because we've seen in the past with Cody... like with Kevin and other things, is he willing to take the necessary steps? And we've seen in recent history when he wasn't willing to do certain things, it's cost him. So is he learning in the moment, like, I have to be able to do what's necessary if I want what I want?
Yeah. Well, and then you also had the story of, like, Randy Orton saying that he would do anything and then him hesitating in certain points, which may or may not have cost him the match and on the other side of that coin. So you've got one guy who's like trying to figure out if he's capable of doing anything. And then another guy who said he was willing to, but then second guessed himself. So it's kind of a nice back and forth there.
When things were on the line, he pulled up, and we saw that with Kevin, and ultimately we saw where that led with Kevin. So it'll be interesting to see, especially after this match and the camera angles that they were showing at the very end, does this lead to a very similar outcome? And Rock, I know you weren't necessarily a fan of the finish, though.
I thought the finish felt flat. think Tim's trying to talk. I see him lighting up, but I also hear the buzzing again. So I'm trying to make sure Tim is actually talking.
No, I'm actually not. I didn't realize I was buzzing.
Yeah, it was
maybe he was just breathing heavily.
Might be. But yeah, no. I thought it came off a little flat. Like the finish was good, but it just felt like, I don't know, came off flat to me. And you disagree.
So because I know you brought this up yesterday when we were watching, and it was like, I'm trying to diagnose this. Was it the corner spot?
Yeah.
Or the setup to it that is what got you?
The entire thing, the whole part of it just sort of like, it just came off like, huh, that's what we want for the finish. I thought it would have been more, this is the move that leads to an eventual finish a few minutes later, but the fact that it came out of like nowhere, kind of, it just felt like, that's what we did to finish this match.
And part of me is wondering if this leaves them open to do certain things, because we had the spot where Randy was going to put Cody's head into the turnbuckle, the exposed turnbuckle, and then Cody tried to do it to Randy, and ultimately it was Randy's attempt to do everything did him in, because he's the one who eventually, you know, who exposed the turnbuckle that put him ribs first into it. But I'm wondering if it's going to be something where if you want to take Cody down a path, you can do it with this, because it's like, I saw what was there and I did what was needed. Or you can still keep him face if you want to, because it was the, like, I didn't fully realize that that's where this was going to lead, but I'm going to take my chance. I felt like this ending was better than Jade and Asuka. That one felt more clunky to me.
But I like that one more. I thought that one came off better.
Well, the thing is, I think the move itself, like the psychology of the lead-in for Jade and Asuka was better, but I think the pulling it off was not.
Again, that's perspective and opinion, which is good. Both of us have different perspectives on the finish. Tim, what do you think of the
match? Damn it, Rock, you're wrong.
I know. I'm always wrong.
And Cliff.
What was your perspective, Tim, on the match?
The match itself, for me, it delivered. I don't know. If the ending of the match, the way they ended it, felt like it fell a little flat to you, it may have been a case of maybe your expectations were a little bit too high. They were getting deep into the opening match, like, time-wise. And they could have been told, okay, you got to go home. You don't know, really. I think it was the planned finish.
It was the planned finish. It was the right time for it. I don't know. It just fell flat. I don't know.
Did it feel rushed to
you? No, it just felt anticlimactic. Anticlimactic flat finish.
One of the things about it is you've got two fan favorites who are essentially good guys, baby faces, squaring off against each other. Yeah, Randy showed shades of his earlier self where he was the dastardly villain and all this other stuff, but didn't really pull it out or second-guessed himself before trying to pull it out and wound up taking too long. When you have that type of a matchup, at least for me, I never expect any kind of off-the-hook finish to the match. It's like, okay, boom, well, you screwed that up for yourself, and I'm going to take advantage of it, and then roll you up. Boom, we're done.
It was odd that Cody kicked out of multiple RKOs, but then Orton got pinned by just one Crossroads. That also plays into it as well.
Well, also, it wasn't just the one Crossroads. I think that was, the second or third he'd hit throughout the match, and it was the same with the RKO.
It was the third Crossroads throughout the match. He also got a Cody Cutter in at the same point. But by this time, he's selling that he's also in a weakened state because of the turnbuckle.
I get I understand it. It's just, it came to me, perspective just fell flat.
That's fine. That's fine. And it, I know it sounds like we're defending it, and maybe we are a little bit. But
you are.
You're
but
entitled to entitled to your opinion. But hang on. We're just telling you why your opinion is wrong. That's all.
I'm saying, I'll say this. The logic made sense. It just, to me, I was expecting more.
Which is perfectly fine, and it goes back to what I said. You may have had a little too much hype for how they were going to finish the match, which is fine. That's perfectly okay. It happens for a lot of different matches to a lot of different fans.
Indeed.
And, like, there have been finishes I absolutely hated that you defended right through the ceiling. Which is perfectly fine. And, I'm being a smartass telling you that we're very kindly explaining to you why your opinion's wrong. But it's not. It's just, I'm telling you why I liked it, why I didn't hate it. And like you even said, you see the logic of it.
Yeah.
Not everything is going to be fireworks. That's all.
So what I did find interesting was Cody's promo afterwards. He when he was trying to defend, the reaction he was sort of getting from the crowd and calling everyone character. All the favorite characters. That was a new term they've used on television.
Like I said, I'm wondering if this is setting the stage for a shift possibly.
I mean, he's talked about it and it's eventually coming.
Yeah. It's eventually coming, and this way it's not a huge surprise when the trigger is pulled on it.
But I think we're at least a year away from pulling that trigger.
You mean we're not going to, at SummerSlam, get Cody turning, the Rock turning on Cena and joining Cody and...
No.
All that stuff? Are you sure? Because...
I'm sure.
Because that's where some people are saying...
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen until Triple H and The Rock make up, because they're pissed off at each other, so...
Yeah. Rumor. Yeah. He's, Cody said it's running its course. Yeah, but he also said 1 to 3 years. So, running its course, knowing okay, it's slowing down, but we got another year or three left in the story that they're trying to tell.
Yeah. Well, good.
I was just gonna say if there's a turn on the horizon for Cody, I don't see it before Royal Rumble.
And I think Randy turns for me, first.
Oh, yeah. Randy's probably turning in August. For me, it's that idea of, like, Cody knows that he can't be Cena/Hogan in the long run. Because today's fans, they'll support you for a while, and then it's just like, you'll need to change things up a bit. And I think for him, he realizes it's like, yeah, going to that place is probably the conceivable next step.
And when they have a hero, or you live long enough to become the villain.
Exactly. And when they have the next guy to replace him, then they'll do it.
Yeah.
It was a street fight, Raquel Rodriguez, Rhea Ripley.
A couple of missteps, but I was able to overlook them because no outright botches. I don't know what it is about Rodriguez. I mean, she's got the height, the weight, the strength, the ability, and the agility. But there's just something off-putting that I'm not buying it with her. I loved the feud. I enjoyed the match. It told the story it was supposed to tell, including the run-in, which was a beautiful payoff with the kick to the garbage can. And I didn't hate the match. I enjoyed it. But something about Raquel, I can't put my finger on it.
Lindsay goes, her personality doesn't read well on television.
I think her heel personality doesn't, like, I think she's, for me, she's much more, I get behind her a lot more as a baby face than I do a heel. So I don't know if that's part of it.
She's too likable to be hated.
Yeah, it feels like she has to try harder to be a bad guy.
You know what? That just might be it. You may have nailed it.
Which is why she comes off better as in the duo with Liv, where she doesn't have to, she can be the heel without really being a heel.
She doesn't have to talk. She doesn't have to. She's just essentially the strong person.
I thought this match was fun.
I was going to say, I think overall they put together a good match. We did find out later that Rhea got herself some bumps and bruises.
As one does in a street fight.
Yeah, some bruised ribs especially.
Endo stick shot couldn't have been pleasant.
Yeah. I like that they went back to like one of the old classic spots, which was tying someone up in the ropes. You don't get that a lot.
Oh, bringing that up. What I really liked about that, after she got out, she's selling that her wrists hurt, and she's selling that she doesn't have full strength in her hands yet.
It's little things like that that can really kind of help draw some stuff in.
Well, when was the last time you saw a wrestler do that? You've seen people tied up in the ropes at least once a year since,
well,
like,
generally speaking. Well, yeah, but the funny thing is usually when you get someone tied up in the ropes, it was always a bigger character, someone like an Andre, or it was within a certain position. I think the most notable that we'd seen in that was Randy Savage and Jake Roberts, which will forever be seared into my memory.
The snake really bit him.
Yeah.
Oh boy, did it.
But I think it works in this position too, especially because we're told, you know, one of Rhea's biggest strengths is her strength. And so it's that, like, if you're going to neutralize her, yeah, tie her up in the ropes where she can't get her hands on you, and you can just start to pummel her like we saw Raquel do with the kendo stick. So it's one of those things where it's like, it's a good strategic move by Raquel to pull that out. And it shows essentially, like, oh, you're not just a you know, you're not a stock standard heel. You're like, I'm thinking this through. If I put her here, it gets me that chance to just waylay her, and then, you know, she can't come at me. And then, as Tim brought up, there's lingering effects from that as well. I do have to say the finish kind of scared me.
I think it scared a lot of people.
Well, the thing was, is they had Chekhov's table there, and when no one went through it, I'm kind of like, okay, the match isn't over yet because the table is still sitting there. And then when Raquel put it on the top and she put the one leg on the rope to, like, provide some ballast, but she had folded the other flat, I was just thinking, no, Raquel, go back and do the other leg. Get that stability there, because I know everyone knew you were going on top of it once you placed it flat on the top rope. But as soon as they got up there and you could see that one edge or that one side, like, turning a little, it was just like, oh God, please don't let this thing fall while they're on it.
Yeah, it really could have gone badly, but it didn't.
No, luckily they got through the spot well. Avalanche Riptide looks very impressive. And it's believable that that would take out, like, Raquel. It's not just, you know, oh, one Riptide, it's over. It's like, no, it took her going up to the top rope and delivering the Avalanche version to be like, yep, she's down.
Yep. I like that she brings that out when she, like, knows she really needs it to take down an opponent.
But it's also been her downfall in recent times as well, because that's what Io has been able to capitalize on, of like, okay, you're wanting to go up to the top rope to do this, I'm going to counter this, and it's what's going to put you down.
But in the end, as I said, Rhea Ripley came out on top,
as mommy always does.
She's something ridiculous, like 32-3 or something in recent matches.
Wow.
Pretty impressive. Yeah, she doesn't lose.
But that's also believable, and the thing with that is it makes it impressive when someone is able to beat her, like Io was. When Io's able to, and it also means that when you look at her overall record, the fact that Io has the winning record against her, when they do face off, it's a really good storyline of, like, Io has her number somehow, or, like, she knows how to beat Rhea. And so it becomes the thing of, like, do people learn from that, or does Rhea finally kind of, like, change things up or recognizes what her downfall was in those to make the adjustment?
Yeah, it was Karrion Kross and Sami Zayn.
Hey, internet, look, Karrion can take back bumps. Sorry, I had to put that out there from what I've been reading over the past, what, 2 weeks?
Is that a thing?
Yeah, apparently the whole storyline on the internet is the reason Karrion is not getting a push or supported by the back is they feel that he cannot back bump, or he does whatever he can to not. And I've seen, like, clip compilations of people making, like, see, look, he you know, turns on his side, or he doesn't, you know, flop properly and stuff like that. And it's just like, no, that's just not the point. With a big imposing dude like that, he doesn't necessarily take bumps or like back bumps through the course of those matches.
You mean the 2-minute matches he's doing on Main Event where he's probably not taking full bumps?
Hey, look, everyone, he got on the PLE. Just be happy with that. I'm not trying to be mean about that, but it's just like, Karrion got, like, everyone was complaining that Karrion's not getting a shot. He got put on a PLE where you only have 6 matches and got time to perform. That's pretty good. I think anyone in the back would take being on a PLE and getting that payday. Just saying.
I mean, they've been busting their asses and taking all the back bumps. Sure, shit, they want to be on that PLE.
But it was a good story they told with Karrion and Sammy. And you had, I like just the talking that was going on during the match. You know, tell them you're a liar. Tell them that it's driving home and it's making things, you know, it's not just the wrestling. It's not just the performative in action. You're also getting it through the talking. And we got that also in the next match as well, where you could hear what they were saying, and it adds a level to what you're seeing on the match.
About 30 seconds after Sami Zayn's music hit, I'm thinking, shit, I wish I had picked him.
Look, Saudi Arabia loves themselves some Sami Zayn.
Well, he's one of their people.
I mean, technically he's Syrian?
Well, yeah, but Syria is part of the Arabic world. And
yes, but Syria and Saudi
anything. Hang on, I'm not saying anything racist or bigoted or derogatory or anything like that. I mean, the first time I ever saw Sammy come out with the Arabic garb, I'm thinking, well, he's pandering, that's bullshit. You know, it didn't dawn on me, his real name is Samir. His parents emigrated to Canada from Syria. And he speaks perfect, flawless Arabic. Even though he's born in Canada, and you can tell he just loves performing for the Saudi crowd, and they embrace him, which is really, it's like, for me personally, that's a wonderful thing to see.
I like that they brought back the old school "let's raise the arm 3 times" bit.
Yeah, that was a nice touch.
I was gonna say we've seen in recent wrestling history, it's just like, and especially in AEW, they do this, and I think it's done to a detriment, where wrestler A gets put in the submission hold, and the referee just goes and, like, jiggle, jiggle, jiggle hand, or jiggle arm for, like, a split second, and goes, nope, he's out, he's done. And with this, you got that kind of build-up of the moment of, like, the arm dropping once, the arm dropping twice, and it it really gets the fans into it, but it's also, like, yeah, it's not just, like, you know, okay, I'm gonna kick your arm a little bit, nope, he's gone. And it's like, but that's really anticlimactic. And I get the, like, in MMA, you get the moments of, like, yeah, the guy will tap out or he's passed out and you stop it before he causes further injury to himself. But at the same time, it's like, there's a difference between that and just kind of, like, light kick, nope, he's done, like we've seen in recent history.
On social media, I was following Jimmy Corderas. Back and forth conversation he had with about 3 or 4 different people talking about that one spot. And it was really interesting. And it boiled down to basically Jimmy's final word on the matter was he's got no problem with the hand being raised 3 times. He's got a problem with the lack of consistency with the way they've been doing it. It was an interesting conversation that I was following along about the whole thing, because he was shooting down people bitching about it, and he was not backing people in favor of it, but as a former WWE referee, he was explaining shit about it, and it was really interesting.
Yeah, it was a good match. Sammy pulled it out in the end.
Which I think a lot of us, well, a majority of the pickers saw coming. And I think it was maybe not a few people on this call. But I think it was the right call with this, you know, especially in that environment, you get Sammy the win in front of a very partisan crowd. And again, you got Karrion on there. And if you want to move him on from Sammy, cool. You got the match out of it in the place you wanted to. Or if you build from this, it's, okay, what's the next step? How does Karrion goad Sammy in further?
Which will be interesting to see what they do from there.
Speaking of going places with a match and an outcome. This United States title match!
Yeah, that's talk about the U.S. title match. It was Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa.
Okay, I like Sassy Solo. I really do. He's had moments. We talked about it with the Money in the Bank, where he was, you know, trying to orchestrate the people, and then he was doing everyone's little custom taunt to try and get them on his side, and then he got his ass proceeded to be thrown out of the ring. But I like when he's, you know, taking on Solo, and, you know, he does, like, take Solo down, and he does the kind of, like, taunt where he's stomping around the ring. I like that that's a part of his personality now, because for a while we had Solo with legitimately no personality. He was just the muscle for Roman. And now we're seeing a little bit more and a little bit more kind of pop out for him. And I think it's adding to that, and it's also possibly going to be his downfall later.
Yeah.
Because right now he's cocky when he knows he has backup. But, I mean, we saw one of his top lieutenants turn on him, and who knows, it may only be a matter of time before others do the same. But overall, it was a good match.
It was a good match. We saw some interference, a return, a debut.
I like that. Okay, I'm sorry, JC, you need to learn how to run down the ramp.
I mean, he's just not used to it yet.
I think part of it was also the fact, and I mean, we saw it later with Charles, it's like, you realize that that's a very long ramp to get down.
Yeah.
In the Kingdom Arena. So it's like, when you have to make your way, like, I get that there's a grade for it, and again, you have to pace yourself to get there because you don't want to blow up 20 feet from the ring. But it's just hilarious. It's like, I'm watching this big guy run, and it looks like he gets to a point, and he's really gingerly trying to finish the ramp and get to the ring.
We probably didn't want to slow down too harshly and bail.
Yeah. I mean, he could have an emergency brake, as we saw later in the night when you get to the edge of the ramp. But I thought it was good that it's like, okay, we saw Mateo, and it was like, okay, he's interfering, but when he got to the edge of the ring, it was kind of like, okay, wait, he's pulling up, what's going on? And that's where we saw the first masked individual pop up and take Jacob down. And part of me was like, I was like, oh, it's Tom. Oh no, wait, it's Tonga Loa. Huh? I hate to say that. I was like, oh, it's the brother who doesn't sell well. Okay. But he pulled off his move well. I will give him that. And then, yeah, we got the person who I thought was going to eventually pop up in the next, I would say, week, because he had made an appearance on Main Event, or at least a dark match appearance. And that was,
it was dark match. It wasn't.
Okay, it was a dark match. But yeah, we got Hikuleo, who is one of the other sons of Haku.
It's not Hikuleo.
It's Tala Tonga.
Yeah.
Tala Tonga. Got it.
Which, this was the worst part of it. The announcer's like, he's this and so this, and you know him, but they never said a name. They just never said the name.
Oh, yeah.
And it was at that moment, it was like, they changed the name. And they
pulled an AEW. You know him from International! We do.
You do, but it's like, just say the name. It's like, the announcers weren't smart enough about the new name. You could tell. And it's like, by the time they were done talking about it, it's like, it's too late to say his name.
Yeah, but it's intriguing because now we've got four members of the Bloodline for Solo, and in theory you've got a fifth lingering when he comes back from injury because his brother is there. But you've got one person in Jacob and a possible associate with Jimmy, even though Jacob was saying, I don't need help. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes. I know Tim last week brought up the possible inclusion of Jey Uso. I don't really know if I want him involved with all of this, but I also don't know how you even the odds in a sense, unless you bring in other people like Azilla Fatu. But with that, it's also, will people know him? And are you just bringing in the new people to?
Yeah, at some point you got to realize you're going to run out of people on the island of Samoa.
I was going to say, will they?
How many kids did Rikishi and Umaga have?
Go look at the Dwayne's chart. It'll tell you somewhere.
Oh, God. How many of them are...
You asked that question, and the first thing that went through my head was, what, together? Move on.
As he looks up the tree.
I'm looking up the Anoa'i family tree. Hang on. All right, how many people are wrestlers and or have Wikipedia pages? Oh, there's Lance Anoa'i. He's in the NXT brand, yeah. Apparently.
There's plenty.
There's Lance. There's Jacob, who's already there. There's Zilla, Jimmy, Jay. There's a Jeremiah Fatu, but there's nothing on them. Solo, Ava. It looks like a lot of the kids are kind of spoken for.
For now.
Well, then again, I mean, Mateo is not necessarily of the family line either, and he was brought in. So, yeah,
neither are Haku's boys.
True.
So you could find Bloodline somewhere. It was Queen of the Ring, Jade Cargill and Asuka.
Jade has gotten a little better since her initial debut, but it was painfully, glaringly obvious in this match that she is nowhere near Asuka's level.
Well, I mean, it's hard. There are a lot of even seasoned wrestlers that aren't on Asuka's level.
You've got a point, but also in the spirit of what I'm saying is, Jade still has a long way to go, in my opinion. She's like the Amazon woman, but it's just, she's not ready yet for the push she's getting. And I'm not trying to hate on her or anything like that.
Tim, you're a hater.
I am not. Shut up, because I don't like you.
Okay.
But I'm not a hater.
Well,
I mean,
go ahead, Keisha.
I think she's slowly getting better, and I think she's kind of getting to a point. She's getting to a point where, like, you don't have to constantly question her abilities. So, like, she's still showing improvement. Whether she gets to a point in her career where, you know, she's on the level of someone like Asuka and other wrestlers of that sort of skill level will remain to be seen. But I'm happy that she's showing improvement and clearly willing to continue working. I think the glaringly obvious thing that kind of makes everyone kind of put her under the microscope is the push she's getting. If she didn't have all the hype behind her and she was just working as, you know, just like a up and coming wrestler who just got to the roster, I don't think we'd be as critical of where she's at currently. And I mean, that's not her fault that she's getting, that they're pushing her the way that she is, but I think she's going in the right direction.
I think kind of like what Keishi is touching on, I think part of this is also the fact of, she's coming in with a lot of expectation and, you know, she probably cost a pretty penny to get that contract. So there are the expectations for her to deliver. And I think in terms of that, you know, yeah, she probably needs a little bit of seasoning still. But at the same time, you can see her growing. You could see her putting together a more well-rounded performance in terms of not just, you know, when she first debuted, it was, okay, you hit your couple of big moves, get your pin over. Now she's putting together matches. She's selling, like, as part of this match, she was, the story was the knee and having to sell that and trying to take away some of her power. I know I talked earlier about the fact that the ending felt a little clunky for me. I don't necessarily know if it's a fault on her end, but it's like, you know, falling backward on the pin looked a little weird, and luckily she held it enough to get the actual three count, but...
And they covered it with the camera.
They covered it with the camera as well. It's not one of those, like, huge glaring things. It was just kind of like, she hit that, she fell, and it's like, oh, she fell back, and you're just like, ah, damn. But it's not a killer thing, in my opinion. But overall, like, she is progressing, she is taking steps, and it's like, this is the push that she was on before she got hurt, and now they're kind of getting back on track with it, and especially with the Naomi aspect of it, you have the added layer. But all in all, I think it was still a good effort from her, and it's, you know, she's still taking steps in the right direction, which is good to see.
But Jade Cargill is your Queen of the Ring?
and she faces Tiffany Stratton, which will be interesting to see the two kind of up-and-comers taking on each other. Because it's going to be a very athletic match, at least with those two.
They had a good match. Was it the week after WrestleMania on SmackDown? I think it was. When they fought, it ended in like a no DQ disqualification or something. But they had good chemistry. They were working pretty good together. So,
and I think when you have two very, very athletic people, it's going to, like, they can do things and they can kind of ramp things up a little bit more in terms of speed, which I think may help Jade a bit, because I think she wants to go a little faster.
Yeah. So they like to go faster. So let's slow it down for your main event.
God.
John Cena, CM Punk for the Undisputed WWE Championship.
Wait. Before we get into this match, can we talk about Friday? Holy shit, I love troll CM Punk. John comes out and is cutting his usual, like, I'm going to walk away from this. I'm going to be the last real champion. Get your looks in while you can, because as soon as this is over, you're not going to see me again. And then Thugonomics hits. And you see the look on Cena's face of, what the fuck? And Punk comes out in the old school Cubs jersey and the drug-free knuckle bars, and I lost it.
It was kind of entertaining.
Oh, it was more than kind of for me. It was entertaining as shit, especially the bars that Punk dropped on Cena.
You absolutely need to learn the art of understatement. Just saying.
I think the best line was the, like, you want to retire and leave because they brought your ex back. And it was just like, you heard the entire crowd go, oh, shit. But honestly, it's like you needed that response after Cena did the pipe bomb on Punk.
Yeah.
We talked about last week of, like, Cena dropped, you know, the pipe bomb in homage to the 2011 pipe bomb that hit this past week in history. And with that, with Punk being who it is, you knew that there wasn't going to, you know, that wasn't going to go without retaliation. But the idea was like, okay, where does he go with this? Is it going to be a physical thing, or is he going to get in John's head and take it one step up that way? And we saw on Friday, it was, oh, he's going to take the tactical moment of, all right, you wanted to take a moment from my history and do all of that? Fine, I'm going to take one from yours.
Oh, it was damn brilliant writing. It really was.
I wonder if John wrote the raps against himself.
Yeah, we find
that'd
that
be
out.
Fantastic.
Love it even more.
We just love it if it was like him and Punk just sitting backstage being like, hey,
you got to see this. Can I see that? Yeah, see this. No, wait. Say this, but that way.
Punk, like, so what's off limits? And John's like, go for it. Here, I'll give you some ammo. And he's like, cool, let's run with it.
Yeah, can I bring up Mickey? Yeah, go ahead, bring up Mickey. I don't care.
It was just cool, though, to see, like, that moment. And then coming into Saudi Arabia, and you have, you know, Punk come out, and the fans giving him a pretty good ovation, especially after he walked back some of his previous comments at the kickoff. Because you knew that was going to be a thing that people would touch on if he didn't address it. So he came out and, you know, talked about what he had said in relation to The Miz and, you know, when he was part of AEW. And it's kind of like, okay, they got that. And then John comes out with his entrance and, yeah. But it was not a high-paced, high-flying match, in the least.
No, yeah, they sort of... I mean, hopefully nobody was expecting that.
No, I mean, we're
trolls.
We have John on his legitimate last leg of the retirement tour. We've got Punk, who, of course, you know, is a little long in the tooth himself. I don't think anyone was expecting 2011 again. No. They still put forth a good effort. John was playing it up for the fans, and he at least came to work. He wasn't phoning it in, but he also, you know, realizes he's not the fastest in the world anymore.
Well, he never was.
Oh, he never was speedy, but
never was.
The one thing I will say, And I mean, we've seen this in Cena matches in the past, and we saw it. We talked about it a bit with Cody and CM Punk, but God, I didn't need to see like five AAs kicked out in this match, and yet we got those.
That's the Cena classic now. That's what you get.
It's the Cena classic, and I know that with other finishes, like, you know, the Crossroads, it's never really one that puts someone down, but it's still like, you wish a finisher had a little more oomph behind it still. But I also understand, you know, in today's age, sometimes they don't necessarily have the... You need those dramatic moments for kickouts and stuff as part of the story, as part of the match storyline. It's just a peeve of mine.
But then you had interference after interference after interference after interference after interference.
So I referenced this earlier, though. MVP of the match is Charles Robinson.
Yep. 60 years old, taking that kind of a bump.
Well, he recreated the GIF first, which was great.
Yeah.
Which is that endless run down the ramp, and he's chugging along, because of course the referee took the ref bump, and Punk needed a second ref, so they called for that ref. Here comes Charles Robinson, and Cena just came out of nowhere and clocked his ass.
Him running down the ramp, I swear to God, he rewatched that old one about 100 times because I saw the comparison videos on social media. The one, you know, with the old one on the bottom and the new one on top. And it was practically stride for stride, the exact same run.
You have signature moves. He has signature runs. That's all it is.
There you go. Yeah. That's his signature moves. You
have a text message. Tim has a text message.
I have a text message.
Apparently. Seth Rollins and the crew showed up. You had Penta show up. Sami Zayn showed up. Anyone else I'm missing?
No, that was the main group there. It was nice to see Sami and Penta continue the storyline that we've seen from the lead up to Night of Champions with the King of the Ring storyline of the interference. And, you know, the only person that was missing through all of that is LA Knight that was involved with that group.
But they took him out story-wise, so.
They took him out story-wise, and it's also like, you had more than enough going on. Though I will say I did like that kind of moment where Seth, you know, so Braun and Bronson are clearing out everything for Seth, and Penta comes out and kind of takes them, and you had that moment where Seth is going to cash in and John just gets in his face like, what are you doing? Like, this is not how this is going to go down. And you just see Seth like have a conniption fit, essentially, of just like, who are you to tell me what to do in this moment kind of thing. Yeah. And then of course you had the callback to Elimination Chamber where, so while we're watching the show rock, we get to the moment where it's like Punk and Cena are in the ring. They've kind of cleared out all of the opposition, and he's like, so Cena, John tag for,
I mean, they could have drawn it out to do that.
They could have done that, but it's like the second that I saw Cena shake the hand and go for the hug, I was like, nope, he's gonna go for the kick to the discos, as Byron Saxon would say. And luckily, Punk was smart enough to be like, nope, but he forgot Seth was still there, unfortunately. So, ultimately...
He did forget about that, yeah.
Ultimately, CM Punk got a briefcase to the forehead for his troubles, and then a curb stomp, and still, you're 17 time, never seen.
John Cena's still undisputed WWE champion.
But I like them kind of planting the seeds that, like, everyone assumes that Seth was going to go after the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yes.
You know, being on Raw, he's going to go after that belt. He still could with Saturday Night's Main Event. We don't know how contractual obligations is going to factor into all of this, aside from getting the match at Saturday Night's Main Event. But it does add also to the fact of, you know, he does have the ties to CM Punk, and they brought it up as part of the commentary. And I talked to Rock last night. I said, I don't know if they're going to go the one of two ways, because I'm like, if I'm CM Punk, do I want to screw Seth Rollins out of the Money in the Bank? Or, in my opinion, does Punk want to go for the ultimate and take the title off of Seth? Because that, I think, would drive Seth even crazier of, Like, if you screw him out of the case, it's just, all right, we're both at square one now. But if Seth cashes in and Punk is the one to take the belt off of him, I think that does more to crush Seth Rollins, because it's the idea of the person you hate, the person that you're trying to, you know, that you talk about you're trying to save the company from, is now the one that's in charge and is the champion. And I think that kills him more.
But that's Night of Champions. So, Brent, housekeeping.
All in all, good show.
Yeah, it's a good show.
All right, housekeeping. So, by the way, I saw Subs thing on.
Yeah.
So I got that pick updated.
Okay.
So we had, let me see, 11 people do picks for the, well, 9 people and 2 inanimate objects do picks for Night of Champions. Everyone finished above 500.
Hey,
so
let's go.
Tied in 8th place, going 3-3, we have Casey, Lindsay, Rock, Tim, Subway, and the 2 inanimate objects. The 8 ball and the wheel of fun.
Let's go.
At least we didn't do worse than them.
That's true. Tied for 3rd place, going 4-2, was myself and Rob. All alone in 2nd place, going 5-1, was Tommy C. And in 1st place, going a perfect 6-0, Sarah.
GG's.
Wow. Congratulations.
GG's. But yeah, so all is good. And we get a pretty big break between the next couple of events, right, Rock?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about it. Oh, wait. Next week is a preview, isn't it?
It is.
We have to preview 2 shows, technically, don't we?
No.
Yeah?
No.
we'll figure it out. We'll figure out how we do that one.
Because there's one Saturday and one Sunday. There's Saturday night's main event, and then Evolution the next night.
Mm.
And then in amongst all of that, there's a pay-per-view for the other company on Saturday as well.
Holy.
Yeah, don't forget, Saturday Night's Main Event and All In, same day.
Yeah, we got an issue because Stampede Week in Calgary starts on Friday with the parade. Thursday night, technically, with a sneak peek. But I don't count that anymore because they charge you to get into the sneak peek now. Did you know that, Casey?
They've always charged to get into sneak peek.
No, they didn't always charge to get into the
sneak peek. Oh, no, wait.
I used to go to the sneak peek every Thursday night and hit the rides because I got under the grounds for free.
Yeah, well, you know, giant.
What are you going to do?
Companies got to make money.
Yeah, but the thing I'm looking forward to is 10 days worth of I don't have to cook or spend any money on groceries. You got 3 square meals every single day all over the entire city. Stampede breakfast, then you got barbecue lunches, then you got barbecue dinners for free all over the place. It's awesome. One of the best things about Stampede Week, Keish.
Yes, the free food is the best thing about it.
Absolutely, yeah. But as you can tell by the background music, Cody Rhodes entry music, that's our cue to say goodnight, everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed our review show. Remember, the new week kicks off tomorrow immediately following Royal with the Post Show.
Most likely 9 p.m. Eastern.
Ish.
No, because Raw should be over by 8
p.m.
Well, Raw's on early tomorrow night. Don't forget, right, everybody. Programming note.
Raw starts at 6. We're shooting to be on by 9.
If we're Why are we starting early? Anyway, I missed it.
Double taping.
They're taping SmackDown so that everyone can get 4th of July off.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's nice of them.
It is nice of them. Yeah. But, so 9-ish, you should be able to catch the post show with Rock and Frank, you'll probably be there, won't you?
For the Raw, but no.
No? Oh, okay. Well, then I'm assuming Lindsay will be there.
We'll be there live 9 o'clock Eastern for the Raw post show. Thursday night, we're back live 10 p.m. Eastern for the Rack to review Night of Champions. Saturday night, so we have a plan for Saturday, don't we, Brent?
Yeah, because someone decided not to show up.
So we played ChatGPT Says last night, and his whole big thing was, yeah, will Rob make it? Will Rob make it? But Rob made it. Sub didn't. So we're going to play ChatGPT Says with the sub next week. Plus, Brent gets to do an Excalibur challenge for AEW All In this Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern on CB Radio. And then we're back next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, to preview stuff. Combination of quick picks here, quick picks there. We'll talk about wrestling next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern on WTR Sunday Night. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. It's at WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. Tim is on socials.
I am. Follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Flames Forums. Bunch of stuff. I just post whatever comes to mind. And unlike some people I know, I actually post multiple times a day. So follow me because I'm lonely.
There you go. Keishi's social.
Yeah, if you want someone who posts once a year and won't, like, overfill your feed with a bunch of posts, you can follow me at Kyle Driver.
Oh, that sounded like a shot.
It might have been.
It might have been, smartass.
Brent?
Yeah, you can find me on various social medias, X/Threads, or X/Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. I sometimes have opinions on things. I will probably have them in 2 weeks with certain events taking place, so we'll see how that goes, and Rock and I have a plan for the following week, too. We'll see how that goes.
We'll talk about it. Send us home, Tim.
Well, that's it, everybody. Thanks. Enjoy your week. We'll catch you next Sunday night for the Saturday main event preview show of WTR Sunday Night. I am my kingdom. You tried to tell me what to do.
WildTalkRadio.com.